I have been slowly reading through a book called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. Yes, for those of you who are quick, you realize I have been too busy and too hurried to read the book any faster. But it has been helpful. It's a book by John Mark Comer, a Portland pastor who lives in one of the most secular post-Christian cities. And he was inspired by Dallas Willard's wise words to John Ortberg. He had said in a conversation to John, "Hurry is the great enemy of spiritual life in our day. It's affecting those inside the church and those outside. We often have an ongoing low-grade fatigue and chronic anxiety that seems to almost never go away." Comer makes the argument that hurry is incompatible with the ways of Jesus, that love, joy, peace, reconciliation are hard to pursue when we're running like chickens with our heads cut off. Willard's challenge to Ortberg, shared through this book, is one that is profound. He says if you want to grow spiritually, you need to ruthlessly eliminate hurry. Ruthlessly eliminate hurry. What a profound idea. But what does that have to do? Today's service and sermon is the final series in our sermon series about the church. Today we're focusing on service and mission. And yet as I prepared, I thought we could spend hours talking about mission of the church and mission statements. I think many churches have spent hours debating what it should be. But at the end of the day, it's not just the goal, it's how we get there. And it's too easy to pursue God's purpose for the church out of our own strength. And so today I felt called to talk more about our way of approaching the mission of the church than to talk about the mission of the church. So I hope you'll bear with me in this process. In 2 Corinthians, we do see some invite to talk about what is the mission of the church. We are invited to live for the one who died and who was raised for us. And we have been entrusted with the message of reconciliation. We are ambassadors for Christ, and Paul's plea in the book is, please yourselves be reconciled to God. Have you ever dealt, can you think of an example of a salesperson you've dealt with one day who's trying to sell you something that they would never buy themselves? I think we've all had that awkward experience where we're not at all convinced. I think it's so important then that Paul says we need to start with our own lives, be reconciled to God ourselves. For it is then, as we live that out, that we can be sharing the message of reconciliation with others. In John 15, Jesus gives a new command, one that we're so familiar with now, love one another. Jesus says, I call you my friends, not my servants. I have shared with you what the Father has told me. And this was this very special thing in Jesus' time, because in the Old Testament, it was really a rare occasion to be called friends of God. Abraham and Moses knew this because of their intimacy with God. And Jesus says in that moment, I call you friends. I share with you my mission. You're not servants who has no idea what your master is doing and just told to do a task. I've told you the bigger goal. You have been entrusted with the message of reconciliation and entrusted with the love of God to share that with one another. We are appointed to go bear fruit. And I noticed that there was a little add-on there, not just any fruit, fruit that will last. And for those of you who need some visuals, I know the kids are already downstairs, but I think we sometimes still need that. I got a bag of apples this morning, and most of the apples looked like this. Would anyone like an apple? But there was one in the bag that looked like this. And I missed it before checkout. This reminds me more of us trying to do the life of God out of our own strength. We've detached from the vine and we're rotting away. Now, this apple will eventually do that because it's not attached to the vine anymore. It's not attached to its source. And so often I think we try and do church this way, where we think, I still look good. I can still do good. But we're on a path that will lead to there unless we're connected to the vine. So Jesus' invite is to go and bear fruit that will last. And the only way to bear fruit that will last when we think about the plant life is to stay connected to the vine, to the roots. We need to be growing. We can't go out on our own. As soon as we pick fruit, vegetables, it's on its way to death. Jesus, a few chapters earlier, had washed the disciples' feet as an act of love. And it's a reminder that at times that call to love will be a call to do things that may seem below our position. That wouldn't have been normal in his day. That would have been the job of a servant, to wash the feet. Yet Jesus said, I will wash them. And he points out that a servant is not greater than their master. So we are invited to take part in acts of love, in acts of reconciliation. But our challenge is to not do it on our own strength. Steve Kuss is the author of Managing Leadership Anxiety, and he says our goal is to die to ourselves, to our own goals, our pursuits, our concerns, die to our own anxieties, so that we might be free to find abundant life in the ways of Jesus. He invites us to ask ourselves, what are the false beliefs that we're holding on to that are driving our actions? What are the things that are causing me to try and do Jesus-like things, but out of my own strength? And when we identify what are the beliefs, then we can change our actions, rather than trying to pursue these things out of our own efforts. We have been set free from things like perfection, control, the need to please others. And we can relax into the grace of God so that we can serve. Coming back to the book on hurry, John Mark Comer says, we are made both in the image of God and we are made from dust. What a beautiful contrast. God has made us in his image. And yet, recognizing our fragility, that our life is but a time, that we have limitations. Cazero speaks of the gift of limitations when he's talking about finding what we should do as a church. So I invite you to consider this for your lives as well as for our collective life together serving. He says that it is in our limitations that we can find God's will. While God is great, we cannot do it all. We are not God. We are not designed to do everything God can do. And in accepting our limitations, we can find the part that God has for us, that we are one part of the body. And as a church, we are one part of a greater body. And I thought that was a beautiful invitation. Hurry suggests we need to do it all. Accepting the gift of limitations says, I can only do so much, but I want to do what I can. And I want to do it with Jesus, staying connected to the vine. As we consider how to love God and how to love others, as we seek to be reconciled to God in new ways, to let go of anxieties that are driving us, as we seek to share that message of reconciliation, I invite you to consider Willard's challenge. Ruthlessly eliminate hurry. I want to pause there and just let you imagine, what might that look like for you if you were to eliminate hurry? As a speaker who is wanting to speak with integrity, this was a challenge that I faced all week. Could I remain present in the moment? There were many times where I found myself running to, but the next thing that needs to be done, no, wait. God has me here in this moment. How can I be in this moment? I can do what I can do now, and I may not get everything done, but God has this moment. How can I serve now? And it was freeing. The week was full. It would have been easy to say the week was busy. But Comer suggests there's a distinction between busy and hurried. Busyness is often associated with hurry in our minds. Our weeks can be full, but they can also have a different rhythm and routine and mentality. We can still choose to be present in this moment and trust that God is looking after the other details. And so while my week was full, it was easy to fall asleep at the end of the day. The worries weren't there, the moments had been good, and I am challenged to continue this beyond this week because this was a good week. So I invite you to do the same. Would you ruthlessly eliminate hurry? It might disrupt your day, it might disrupt your week, it might disrupt your whole life, but you may just be profoundly grateful that you were disrupted, so that you may serve with God, taking time to be connected to the vine, taking time for scripture, for prayer, and remaining with the Spirit in doing the service and the mission of the church, rather than doing it on our own strength. Let's go with God to bear fruit that lasts. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you so much that you sent Jesus to live life differently. Jesus did many great things, but did not live a hurried life. He was present in the moments, sharing what he could, and somehow didn't carry the weight of trying to change everything during his time here on earth. Lord, help us. Help us to live in the ways of Jesus, to stay connected. Help us to take the time to experience your love, so that out of abundance we may love one another. Lord, help us be present to the nudgings where you are desiring a new and deeper reconciliation with you, so that we can also then share the message of reconciliation with others. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.